Welcome to Who Said You Have To, where we discuss how society dictates to us who we must be and how we must live our lives.
In this podcast, we will also help you find ways to choose the life you want to live with no fear or judgment.
My name is Laura Schmidt. Tina and I know the things discussed today are not what society has taught us to believe, but I choose to believe in my own ability to see what is truth and what is not truth.
My name is Tina Mason, and Laura and I challenge you to join us in believing in your own ability to find your truth, not what society has dictated you must believe to be accepted or loved.
The truth is, you are loved exactly as you are, right here, right now. No human is more vital than another. You matter.
And you have the free will to walk your own path with no fear and no judgment. We encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
who said you have to?
Okay, we are live. Hello, everybody. Here we go again. We've been having some technical difficulties, and we are coming live now. Tina and I will be interviewing an ex-NFL player with the Minnesota Vikings, Mr. Sean James. He is one of our great Fabu speakers. So we're having to improvise here and do some things to get set up. Forgive the... Okay, there we go.
I think we're good now.
So... again, forgive all these technical difficulties.
Yes.
I think everybody's having internet issues, actually, lately.
Well, there's been some solar flares, I know.
Some solar flares getting into us, but...
Okay.
We're going to keep trying
this. We're going to keep trying this.
As much as we can. We will not let the internet control us.
Yes.
So we are trying to get Mr. Sean James to request to join here, and we'll get started. I'll speak a little bit about Fabu while Tina's connecting to Mr. Sean James. So Fabu is an event that we created. It is not a free will healing event, but it is, Tina and I are the ones doing a lot of this back leg work, but it is a conference happening in St. George, Utah, December 16th and 17th. The 16th is going to be a meet and greet for people that buy VIP tickets. And the 17th is the actual event. It's an all-day event with some amazing speakers. If you visit our website, freewillhealing.com, there are two buttons there. One's gonna say Fabu, which of course is a conference. And then we have a smaller event called The Season's Miracle, which is Mr. Ryan Allen. He's doing that one on his own. But the Fabu event is what we're gonna be talking about today. And we're gonna be asking Sean James, you know, to talk about himself and to, you know, tell us how he got involved with Fabu, what his vision of Fabu is going to be. We are very excited. We believe that this is going to be a very transformational event and that is going to reach the masses. And Fabu stands for Forgive, Allow, Become You. Each speaker will have a topic they'll be speaking on with forgiving, allowing, and becoming. Tina here is going to talk. What your topic is?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. That is one that we all work on. I remember the first time Tina asked me if I could forgive myself about some things I had done, and it was very hard, and I've worked through that. So for those of you just looking to, like we said, become who you're meant to be, who you want to be, this is the event for you. It's made out of love, with love. And we'll see. Oh, there is Mr.
All right,
James.
There's Mr. Sean James right
We're
there.
We're sending him an invite to have him join us. We may need to scooch in a little tighter here.
Oh, okay. Get a little closer.
Yeah, get a little closer.
Oh, and so Mr. Sean James is joining us.
He's joining us. Do you want to keep that open for your questions?
Hello, handsome man.
How are you?
Uh-oh. Okay, let me...
Is that your sound or his?
Hopefully I wasn't on mute this whole time.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you guys.
Okay, I'm turning my volume up here.
Laura likes to keep her volume low, and for us, my old ears, I can't hear anything. All right. Hello, handsome gentlemen. How are you today?
Was that for me?
That is you.
Yeah, you're the handsome
gentleman. I didn't hear what you guys said. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I said, how are you doing today, handsome
gentleman? I'm good. I'm happy to be with you guys. I believe in what you guys are doing, and it's beautiful to see your two beautiful faces this morning, or this afternoon for me.
Yeah.
Or still in.
Well, we so appreciate your time. We know you're a very busy man,
And we really, really appreciate your time. So, Sean, we're just gonna jump into it if you're ready to go. So, first and foremost, you look very handsome in red.
Thank you.
When did you pray for Christmas?
I know, I love it. Love Christmas.
I love it.
So, tell us a little bit about you, Sean. You know, as we said in the intro, we know, you know, you're a retired NFL football player. You played, I believe, for a couple of different teams, but you retired with the Minnesota Vikings, if I'm correct. What else would you like us to know about you?
Well, I'm just, I'm a Midwest kid that grew up in a very conservative town, small town. I wouldn't say too small, about 50,000 people. And I truly believe that the environment sets the bar of the way that you see the world. And I'm extremely I'm extremely privileged in the way that I grew up. I think until you leave your hometown, you don't know how bad it can be out there and how other people view the world. So my lens from the age of, you know, 1 to 17, of course, until I went to college, 18, was a pretty good life. I grew up, with two parents. My father was in the military. My mother was an entrepreneur. I was the only child. I grew up with a lot of cousins, great friends, great hometown, and was able to, you know, get lucky enough to, you know, capture the ability to go to college through athletics. I was a good athlete and was able to go to play college football and run college track, and which had afforded me a free agent contract with the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears.
That's awesome.
The Bears.
So, through the 90s, the early 90s, I had experienced a lot of different things early in life for someone to be 22, 23 years old. And my mission was to come to New York City and do the things that I've done in my 31 years of living in New York. I moved here at 22. I'm 53, going on 54. There's so many things that we can talk about, but I think for the most part, I think anyone out there that's listening, that understands the things that you guys are putting together, a lot of it starts with forgiveness. Forgiving, literally everything in the world starts with pain. Right. If there was no pain, there would be no joy. So when we start to think about, when you see the word pain equals joy, you don't just wake up with joy. You have to go through something to be able to have joy. And for me, as easy as I grew up or thought I grew up, a lot of those things came through a lens of good parenting and the circumstances that I was born with. And I think that we all. And that we're all born differently. We didn't choose the parents that we were born from. We didn't choose the brothers and sisters around us. And so that's why God always makes friends. So,
yeah. Cousins are some of the best friends.
So, we could go into business, we could go into philanthropy, we can go into, the many different things I do. But I think what you guys are doing and why I want to be a part of it is, I love acronyms, by the way. I think the ideal.
You know, we came up with that one, right?
No, you didn't tell me.
So Laura and Ryan and I, we were on video chat, right? And we were just talking about, like, what are we going to call this? We knew the concept, but what are we going to call this? And we sat there for probably about 10 minutes. And then finally, I was like, what are we doing? Let's just ask God. And so I said, I was like, okay, Father, what do you want to call it? And Laura had her pen ready and paper and everything. And I heard, forgive you, or allow you become you.
Well, I think we all had the forgive.
All three
of us actually came up with the word forgive, the mm-hmm. main.
The forgive main. And become, I think, yeah. And then, so I told Laura, so she was writing it out. And I said, take the you off of the end of all of those. And it literally was forgive, allow, become you. I was like, it spells fab you.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, thank you, Father. I mean, of course it does. Of course it does.
That's awesome.
It's, I just so it was just really cool the way that it kind of happened. And you know, real quick, I do want to comment on something that I know that you're passionate about, that I am very, very passionate about, because of personal experiences, and that is, you're very big on anti-bullying. And I want to applaud you for that. And my youngest daughter was bullied horrifically, which ended in a sexual assault when she was 3 days before her 12th birthday. And the school literally was like, you need to sit down and shut up about this. Like, yeah. I mean, like they were, it was horrible. And, you know, she stood up and fought. She's, you know, her case was actually one of the reasons that the bullying laws have become so strict over the last, and, which obviously, you know, we're very proud of her for that. But that's very near and dear to my heart because of, not only did I have a child and my family was affected by it, but also going through the legal system because it turned into a legal event, you know, and, it just, it is, so important for children to have an advocate for them, because going through this, we had so many families that came to us and said, you know, kids that came to us and came to my daughter and said, nobody's ever stood up for me before. My parents were too afraid to fight the system, or my, you know, and it's just so important to have somebody like yourself who has a broad reach say, hey, this is not cool. This is not okay. And I just wanted to tell you that I applaud.
No,
you
I appreciate
that.
It. You know, you never know what you do and how it reaches people. So anytime someone tells you that they appreciate it, it's meaningful to me. I'll never get tired of someone saying that they appreciate it, because you don't know, you know, think about what we're about to do. You don't know who you're going to touch to activate someone to do something, right? And life's mm-hmm. about actions, right? We can talk and manifest, but once you go out there and do it, you know, I always say education is knowing, experience is doing. It's go right. out and do the things that you think about and be intentional in doing it. And so my intentions in doing that, you know, manifested in me when I was a little boy, when I would see kids not get picked or, you know, and I grew up in the 70s, you know, it was a little different beast back then. There was no internet, but, you know, I will never get tired of someone saying that they appreciate it, because, you know, there's certain school systems that think about these things, and the school systems that don't will experience what you experience, which is, you know, 90% of America. They don't think that it's important. And, you know, these kids are being terrorized and they don't really have a good childhood. And, you know, the child that you the experiences that you go through a child dictate how you're going to be as an adult. So we have a lot of adults that are bullies now because they were bullied as children. So think about if we could just reverse that, and how many adults that right. we have, because bullying is an adult problem. We think that it's a child's problem. It's not a child's problem.
It's all over.
It's mimic behavior, literally of the guardian or the parent that is raising a child. So a lot.
Absolutely. We couldn't agree with you more. Laura and I, we do two different podcasts, and we actually did an entire podcast on bullying and intimidation. And it is, you know, the reason that the psychological reason why human beings judge other human beings or bully or, you know, those kind of things is, well, not the bullying part, but the judgment and being is it trauma, right? Is emotional trauma or physical trauma. And the reason that people judge other people is not wanting to look within. And why do we not want to look within? Well, we don't want to look within because it's scary. We're afraid we're going to find a monster if we look within. And what Laura and I run into so much, you know, at Free Will Healing, is people come to us and say, how do I find self-love, right? Because once you have self-love, you have no need to judge another human because you're not afraid to look within. Once you have self-love, you have no need to be unkind to other people because you understand you don't have that trauma anymore, that every time somebody says or does something, you don't take it personal because you know it has nothing to do with you. And so finding that space of self-love is how we change the world. It is how we create a space where humans feel safe and loved. And that's what we are, our goal for FabU is. And what's the process of finding self-love? Well, it's forgiveness, forgiveness of self, for allowing God to give us whatever it is that he's bringing in, and to become who we choose to be. Not the person society has told us we should be, but the person we choose to be, in a space of no judgment and love. Mm-hmm. And that's how we find ourselves, our self-love. And once you got that self-love, man, the rest of it's crazy.
So speaking of who you want to be, one of the questions we've been asking all the speakers was, is who did 8-year-old Sean James want to be when he grew up?
I think it's a few people. I think I would start with my dad. I think the ideal of family has been destroyed, especially in the African-American community. I didn't know anything other than my mom and dad being in the home. And that's an entitlement and a privilege in itself as a 50-year-old man. Right. My dad was everything to me. I had some great uncles too. You know, I had great male role models around me. And I think that's where it started, right? Outside, before I looked outside of any pro athlete or any superhero, it was my dad and my uncles and my cousin. They set a good example for me in a bar that was attainable, but I knew I would have to work to get there. And then after that, I would probably say someone that really inspired me was Muhammad Ali.
Oh, good one.
I think for me, as a young boy, to see someone that looked like me was impressive, because I knew that I wouldn't speak that way and do it with love. He was always making light of every situation. It was never dark. He was never dark. He always made light of everyone that he was around. He had the ability to make people feel good around him. He allowed people to touch him. You know, when he went to Africa, he had no bodyguards. He let people come in and want to touch him. And I see some of these guys nowadays, they have the entourage. And, you know, I go to events all the time, man. I mean, I'm around. I work in this business. It's a mean business, man. And I see some of these guys, and I'm like, you guys have no clue what the guys in the 1960s did, which they allow people to touch them and get close to them and feel good, right? You know.
Changing lives. Because it was about more, for Muhammad Ali, it was about more than just the boxing, more than just money or fame or any of that. It was about changing the community, changing how the community saw him, and changing how the community saw themselves. And that's what I admire so much about him, because, you know, he understood that concept. He had self-love. He understood the concept of, you know, you think what you want to think, you act however you want to act. I'm in charge of me, and I'm not going to let you affect me. But I am going to give this love that I have to everyone around me. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And I'm going to tell you, you embody that, Sean. Mm-hmm. You absolutely embody that. Yeah.
Not having met you personally, but times we've talked.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you, when we very first talked, and, you know, I told you, this is our very first FabU, and, you know, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. You know I have my faith of what God has told me it's going to be. And I said, you know, I don't know what I can pay you. And do you remember what you said to me?
I don't.
You said, you said, and I almost fell out of my chair. You said, oh, just give me whatever the other speakers are getting. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that could, it's a percentage of tickets. That could be one ticket. And you're like, okay.
That's it.
And I was like, I can put you in my basement. And you're like, okay, just put me with the other speakers. And I was,
well, let me tell you that comes from, to be very educational to anyone that listens to this. As I started to get, become a speaker and become a professional and started to realize that I couldn't speak at every event for free. And in order to call myself a professional, I had to be able to do what professionals do. I went and got a coach and I paid him and I learned about how to publicly speak. And I did all the things that people that are publicly professional speakers do. So once I put that investment into me, going back to self-love, I started to love myself. Right. I knew that the only time that I would be able to help people was when they knew that they were going to do something bigger than themselves. And that's what I saw in you guys, right? It for me, it's not about money, but it's about the intention, right? And the intention tells your brain to manifest the things that you want to become. And when I heard what you guys were doing, not trying to do, but doing, I was all for it, because so many people come to me and their intention is to put things out and see if they stick. It doesn't work that way. You have to really push the gas pedal on the gas to motivate those things to happen. You have to manifest them. You have to think about them. You have to obsess with them. And anyone out there that's listening, anything that you want to do in life, it's not just going to happen. You have to put something behind it. And once you put something behind it, people see that in you and they want to help you. When people up to people, I have people come up to me, yeah, man, can you help me do this? If I don't see that in you, I'm like, hey, man, you know, take a little bit more time. And when you're ready to really do this, I'll help you. And that's how I'm built. And that came through time. I didn't do that in my 30s and 40s. I gave a lot of people my time that didn't deserve it because they weren't putting the work in to want to truly make it happen. And for me, it's a gut thing for me, right? It's a very intentional thing. When I see intent of something that someone's really trying to do, it's important that you have that ability and that awareness, self-awareness and awareness of others to know that what they're trying to do is bigger than themselves. And I'm always going to be in.
I want to kiss you on the cheek right now.
It is definitely much bigger.
Yeah, it is way bigger than us. You know, as a matter of fact, people say all the time, they say, you know, is free will healing putting this on? Is Tina or Sean James Ryan? And I say, no.
Yeah.
No, it's so much bigger than free will healing. It's so much bigger than Tina Mason, Laura Schmidt, Sean James, Ryan Allen. You know, it is, and Sean, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it and tell you what's going to happen. But because this is God's event, he will be there. And something is going to happen that day. Whether it is everybody feels a big, huge hug, there's a big, bright, white light. Maybe he walks up when I'm speaking and takes the mic out of my hand and says, honey, down, let me take it from here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that this world is going to change on that day for the good. And what is that worth? What is, even if there's one homeless person in the whole crowd, what is that worth? What is one life worth? Everything. Mm-hmm. But you see, I believe that this is going to affect millions of lives, millions and millions of lives. And every person who's affected is going to then go forward and affect another. Do I know with a surety that cannot be shook what's going to happen? Not a clue. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I know that I'm going to make this event happen. What happens after, I have no idea. But I know.
Let me jump in real quick, because I think what you're articulating is something that people need to understand. It's not about what happens, right? It's about the intention. The intention is good. The intention is God's will. And we don't care about what happens. We're going to be there, right? So regardless of who shows up or who doesn't, that's not the intention. We're not sitting there going, we have to sell tickets. We have to sell tickets. No, going back to my comment earlier, education is knowing, experience is doing. We're experiencing each other. And that's the intention. And if God sees that, he's on our side. That's all that matters.
Yep. And you know what? It's going to be like Christmas summer camp. Well, huddled in my basement, you know, I'm going to set up a Christmas tree down there for, you know, so that we have one down there for all the speakers together. And Mojo was saying, he said, it's going to be like summer camp. And I said, but it's like Christmas time, so it's going to be like Christmas summer camp. And, you know, Sean, it's funny because we were talking about, you know, 5 years from now, when we're doing Fabu 2027, right? We're all going to look back at this Fabu as our favorite.
Yeah.
Remember when we were all huddled in Tina's basement because, you know, we didn't have the funds to do hotel or whatever. You know, remember when we were, and it's going to be something that we look back on so fondly, because the other thing we're going to say, Sean, and I know this with a surety that cannot be shook, we're going to say, remember the day we changed the world?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Remember the day we changed the world? Because all of us just knew. Within us, we knew it was the space that we wanted to be in. And we had the knowing within us. We trusted ourselves and our bodies, and we just knew. And, you know, we have such a, you and I are speaking on forgiveness.
I was just going to say that he was speaking on forgiveness.
Yeah. So that means words. That you and I get to link arms.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we have Kristen Brown and Mojo who are going to be speaking on allowing. And we have Ryan who's going to be doing becoming, right? And Andrea Nile is going to be emceeing for us. And it's going to be a heck of a party.
No, I agree.
I'm excited.
I'm excited to meet you guys and be a part of it. I think it's important that everyone out there who might be thinking about coming or are unsure of what the event is about. You know, it's about good people coming together and really empowering one another. I'm going to learn from you guys. I'm going to learn from the other speakers. You know, it's an opportunity, right? Every day today's an opportunity. You guys are on my schedule, and every time that someone's on my schedule, it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to learn about people. It's an opportunity to love people, and it's an opportunity to understand people. And that's what life's about. You know, life is living, and that's what we're doing right now. We're having the ability to, and having the discipline to listen when you want to talk. You know, right now we live in a social media era where people have the attention span of a caption. That's all they can think. And we need to get back to being able to hear one another and really process what people are saying and be there in the moment. Look at people when you're talking to them. I tell these to young people, I'm about to speak at NYU, I think 2 weeks, to the international MBA program. And, you know, I'm going to go in on these kids about their phones and some of that, and it's not being mean, right? It's a different beast, it's a different mechanic. And I'll give you a quick story. A couple Christmases ago, some of my nephews were around 12 to 16, and we all met for Christmas. I go home for Christmas to Kansas, and my mom was upset. She was like, you guys get off your phones, you're always on your phones. And then I had a moment. I go, Mom, I go, remember when you used to yell at me for being on the phone? It wasn't the internet, but I had like an hour and I begged for my own phone line because if you guys needed to get on the phone, I had to get off.
Yes.
I go, I used to talk to people and fall asleep with the phone right here. And I said, that was what they're doing right now is 10 times more productive than what I was doing. Your era was going to dinner with someone or going to someone's home, right? Each era is different, right? So the era of my parents, who are in their middle 70s and their 80s, was, you know, going to someone's house and breaking bread. Our era was television and telephones, right?
Right.
This generation era is being on their phone if they're reading, if they're blogging, whatever they might be doing. But what we have to respect is everyone is different and we've evolved and technology has allowed us to evolve to even for us to be on this call. So we can bash everything because there's some good in this, right? I'm in New York City right now. You guys are where you're at. You're in Utah, right?
Right, yes.
And the beauty of that is we have to be able to understand that technology has allowed us to move forward, but we also need to be able to do this. We're still human and we're social creatures. And if the pandemic did not show us that we need one another, right? We needed you as a consumer. We need you as a customer. We can't even open up our own stores if we have no one to sell to. We need humans. And part of that is being able to connect with one another, which goes back to why we're doing this. You guys are connecting with me. I'm connecting with you. We're going to connect with the world. And slowly but surely, we're just empowering people through our experiences. We're not here to tell anybody how to live their lives. We're going to share what we know, and hopefully that can empower other people. And slowly but surely, we manifest the things that we want to become. But it all starts with love. So, you know, that's my two cents on it. I mean, it's one of those things where what you guys are doing is beautiful, and I'm happy to be a part of it. And it's an opportunity. And I always say education creates opportunity. It's a moment to be able to hear something from someone else that you don't know. Oh, I know that. No, I don't. I don't know your experience. I don't know what you've been through. And I can tell you this, I've been through a lot. And let me tell you this, the worst thing that you can do is hold on to that pain. Because what happens is when you hold on to that pain or that resentment, it creates this resentment that you will never, ever let go. And you'll lose yourself. I've done it. Yep. I've lost myself.
Yeah.
And I became something that I wasn't. So everyone out there, the resentment that you have for anyone, you got to let that go because they own you. They own this. You got to let that go. Let that person go. Let them be free. Pray for them. Love them. As hard as that is to say, love them and watch what happens. It will all come back, right? I had a kid the other day come up to me. He was like, what do I need to do to be successful? I get that all the time. And my go-to now is, and I've manifested this, I say, how many friends do you have? And sometimes they say how many followers they have on their Instagram or their Facebook. And I go, that's great. I said, well, with your 350 followers, you have an opportunity to make 350 people successful. The first thing that I do to be successful is to help you guys be successful. The best way that you can actually make someone successful is to turn to your friends and say, what do they have what do they not have that I have that I can help them be successful? And that's where you start. If you do that, you're on your way. To everyone out there that's listening to this, if you want to be successful, help someone else be more successful. And that's how you start. And slowly but surely, you're going to be successful. When I had no money, right, I've been a millionaire and I've been bankrupt. When I had no money, you know what I started to do? I start helping other people with no money coming. They weren't paying me anything, but I start to help. I go, well, I know that. I know how to do that better than them. Let me help them. Next thing you know, I start to get jobs.
It just comes.
It comes.
In.
That's God's work. So believe me, the quickest way to success is helping someone else become successful.
But, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from Dr. Richard Pimentel, who helped write and implement the ADA laws, the Americans with Disabilities Act laws. But one of his quotes is, leaders do not get people to believe in them. Leaders get people to believe in themselves.
Sure.
To believe in themselves. I don't want someone to follow me because I'm lost most of the time. I just want you to hear me and take whatever I say and hopefully, I think you're muted. Is that us or?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We can't hear you. I don't know.
Is it you? Right?
No, that was us. You are muted. You want to text him? Hold on. Unfortunately, it looks like we've had another technical difficulty here. It looks like Mr. James.
Yeah, if you can hear us, Sean, you're
showing that you're muted.
It's showing that you're muted. If you can hear us. You did.
Yes, you're a mutant. Let's just show him the text, maybe. She sent you a text. Forgive our technical difficulties here.
Yeah, is that because that's what that's telling us, right?
Yeah. He'll probably join again.
Yeah, let's ask him to.
Oh, I think he left. We may need for Mr. Sean James to come back. But yeah, what amazing messages he has. I can't wait to hear him live.
I'm telling you, I just fell in love.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I just fell in love again right there. What an amazing human being. Yes. Can you, I mean, him on stage at Feb, you... Oh my god. Yep, there we are.
We have you. Oh, there we go.
I think what happened was I had
Got you. Well, we were just talking about how we both just fell in love with you a little bit.
And we can't wait to see you live. Hear you speaking live.
Yeah, we cannot wait to hear you speak live.
I can't wait to see you guys and meet you. What I wanted to share with you, because you're onto something. Your quote comes from something that I studied. When Martin Luther King gave I Have a Dream speech, he had no social media. He had no newspaper outlets advertise the event. He didn't even send out flyers. For whatever reason, people of all walks of life showed up that day. And I Have a Dream speech was something that he was not going to talk about. I'm going to share something with you that's extremely important. There was a singer named Mahalia Jackson, and she had heard him give I Have a Dream speech at a local church 2 days prior. And Martin went up there on the stand, and he had his whole speech of what he was going to say that day in Washington. And he started out, and it was kind of slow. And Mahalia, if you ever see the real footage, says
I've heard
this.
That.
Tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream. And he looks over at his friend in front of all these people. And he closed his book and he started to talk about I Have a Dream. Now, where I'm going with this validates what you were saying about that quote. No advertisement, all walks of life. It wasn't just black people there. It was people from everywhere, all over the country. With no marketing, they showed up. Not because they believed in Martin, they believed in themselves. And Martin made them believe in themselves. So to your point, Martin was a leader because he made people believe in what he believed in. And when you have that ability that doesn't tie to these are my beliefs, no, there are beliefs, that manifests into real action. And that's what he had. So to that point that you just made, he wouldn't have even given that speech. He would have gave a speech that he wrote for that certain day. But Mahalia Jackson is the one that activated, because she had heard the speech already. And she was like, forget that speech. Tell him the speech that comes from your heart.
And around the world. It's
which beautiful. Now might be one of the greatest
speeches
ever. Made
me tear up a little bit there, Sean. Yeah, Dr. Pimentel, my husband and I were fortunate to speak with him one time, and he... It actually spoke at a Martin Luther King rally, and it was he read us the speech, and they were so in alignment with how the world truly works, how people truly retain and believe in what you're saying, is about, like you said, that it's our belief, not Tina's, Laura's, Sean's. It's not us trying to cram what we believe down your throat. It is me speaking my truth, my story, and loving you, whether you accept it or not. Allowing you to accept it or not, and having no judgment either way. And just saying, look, this is what I've been through. This is what I experienced. This is where I am today, and this is how I got here. And I love you either way.
And you've already touched a little bit on it, but what is your hope for FabU? Not just for you coming as a speaker, but for FabU as a whole.
What do you hope it accomplishes?
To empower people. People are like, you know, the elephant in the room, people are in bad shape all over the world. I mean, we're now 2 years, a year post pandemic. And that affects a lot of people's mental health. You know, financially, people are hurting. People, they need something, you know, bigger than life. And what they need is something to follow. And I think what you guys have created could be the secret sauce to empowering themselves, right? It's really about, you know, a group of people coming together and creating a culture that ties to something bigger than themselves. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than what, you know, which goes back to me, what I said earlier. It doesn't matter who shows up. We showed up. And God has intention when you have good intention to help other people. I truly believe that. My faith is everything. And, you know, my faith allows me to manifest the things that I want to become, the things that I want to be, the people that I want to touch, the people that I want to meet. You know, the idea that I get to meet the two of you and we're going to have a long-lasting friendship.
We're gonna
and that we can help one
you,
another.
Sean, as soon as
you guys have my access now, right? So, to make a short version of what I think it can do, or what I know it can do, it can empower people. People need some empowerment. They need a purpose. And they all have a purpose inside of them. We just have to wake it up. We have to make them understand that self-love, or however you want to word it, people are motivated by having something to do every day. And we're in a state right now through a lot of this country, small town America. We're not talking about big cities too. New York City right now is there's a lot of mental ill people on outside. There's a lot of crime right now. We're going through, and now we're about to enter another presidency thing. Like, there's always a shift every 4 years. So there's a lot at stake that we need to address. But what we fail to realize is we have control of us. So once we have the ability to understand that I can only be as good as Sean wants to be. My intention today was to meet with you guys. I blocked the time out. And I'm 100% here. I'm not here. I'm with you two. And if we can get other people to understand that if you're 100% locked in, there ain't nothing that you can't do. You just have to be able to have the skill set and the powers and the will of God to love yourself and go out there with good intentions, and you will manifest that because your brain tells you what you are. We are our thoughts. Never forget that. And there's days I deal with depression. Right. So I am a living example of being my thoughts. I have to manage it. And part of that is having a purpose. And my purpose today was to be on this call with you guys to make sure that we can actually create content. If there's no one on this call right now, that it can live somewhere where people can come back and listen to our conversation and go, wow, man, like, he's talking to me. Yeah,
you're,
I'm talking
you
to
are
you.
Such a beautiful,
right?
Amazing human being. And we're so absolutely honored, Sean.
Blessed to have met you.
Very blessed to have met you.
And to help us with this.
You know, I always tell people all the time, you know, they'll say, thank you for helping me, or, you know, and I'll tell them, I'll say, I'm just a pretty face and a voice. God does all the talking, you know, and, but you are more than just a you're a pretty cool cat. And we're extremely fortunate that you are going to be joining us for FabU. You bring so much to the table. And I'm not talking about Sean James, the retired NFL football player. I'm not talking about Sean James, the philanthropist. Yeah, I'm talking about Sean James. Your heart, your soul, belief, your knowledge, life, the crap you've dealt with. I'm talking about Sean. Just Sean.
I want to insert a word in between. Bad word.
I want to say Sean. I want to say Sean Badass James.
Mine's a little strong.
Motherfucking?
Yeah.
have a pair of leggings that say badass down the side of them. I'm going to get you one here too. I will love that.
All the speakers have.
Okay, I'll wear them. Badass
down the side. But we so appreciate you. And I want you to know we see you.
Love it.
We see you.
Why? You guys too, and that's why, you know, I think opportunity to be able to connect and engage, as I tell people all the time, be present, right? A lot of these kids are on their phones and they're missing lives. Like, I went to a concert the other day, and a person next to me recorded the whole concert through their phone. And I was like, I feel like, you know, when you feel like, oh my God, I'm old, like, this is bothering me. Like, I was like, dude, they're right there. They're live. Watch them. Put your phone down and live in the moment for once. He recorded the whole thing like this. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, we're in the presence right now. This is real time. We're real people. We have the ability to impact other people. And part of that is connecting. Exactly. And you can't connect with someone that if you're not looking at them in their eyes.
Question for you. Right?
Yes.
So. I read the other day, I believe I read, did you grow up in Hutchinson, Kansas? And what year did you graduate?
Yes. Okay.
So I graduated in 1988.
1987.
And in Modesto, California. But up until my freshman year, I went to McPherson. How crazy is that?
Oh, nice. That was our rival.
And we're the, like, you're just like a year older than me. So we were literally growing up. How far is Hutch and McPherson? Like, we grew up 30 minutes from each other.
You may have
30 minutes. Yeah. That, McPherson was our rival in basketball. So I know many
Tony
people.
Oaks.
I know Steve Henson, Tony Oaks. I know all those guys. There's so many guys there.
Crazy?
Matt Stuckey.
Yeah. So I read that the other day and I was like, I wonder if we know people like in common. You know what I mean? So that's funny. But so, Sean, is there anything that you want to promote? Or how do people, if they want to follow you on social media, how do they find you?
My Instagram and Twitter are probably the most interactive that I'm with because I'm on that daily. And it's Sean, it's my name, S-E-A-N, Sean James 23 for both of those. And then Facebook, I'm not able to get on my computer anymore because my Facebook got hacked over the pandemic. But I have it on my phone for whatever reason. I can't get it on my computer because I don't know the password. But so my Facebook is still there. I can see things sometimes from my Facebook. And then my website is my full name, SeanLewisJames.com. I have a company, and all my stuff lives on there. My finance company. I work in business management, so that's what I do day to day. And I'm a philanthropist, so I'm on boards of different nonprofits, and I have a nonprofit of my own. But usually, those are the two. If you want to interact with me, I usually respond to people on that because I'm there daily and I see it. And then I've obviously, you know, anyone that you guys want to connect me to, you're more than welcome to, you know, use my access. And I think that's the word that people need to really understand. Access is extremely important because access, I always tell people, I know a lot of people, but I don't know if they're going to return my call, right? I could show you my phone right now and you'd be like, wow. I'm talking about A-list celebrities. That doesn't mean that I have access to them. It means I know them, right? Yeah. I know you guys. So you guys have access to me, vice versa. I know that you're going to return my call. And I think I always tell young people in business, like, I'm like, understand what the word access means. They're like, well, oh, you know them. You're networking. I go, no. Will they return your phone call? Will they return your phone call? Will they get back to you? That's important. So I'm in it. You guys are going to be my friends for a long time. And so, yeah, if forever and ever. And so if I have something that I can help someone with, which is going through you guys, and that let's do it, right? That's what life's about. It's
right.
About
and if anybody wants tickets, to freewillhealing.com /FabU. There is information on there about tickets, about the event itself, yeah. And there's a link there
hotel
to the
links.
And yeah, hotel, like hotels, airlines, everything there. And then there's also a link to the Eventbrite. And we also have a GoFundMe account for crowdfunding for the event. So you can just go to GoFundMe and search FabU, mm-hmm. Raising the Vibration of Humankind. Because yes. Unfortunately, Laura and I are not independently wealthy. And so, and I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this. What do the tickets
for
cost?
The general admission is $85, and the VIP, which is the first three rows, plus the
meet and greet
ticket, is $135. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me say this: for $85. You have the opportunity to be around people that can really empower you. They're going to share their experiences. They're going to share their education. I have a lot of education. None of that means anything if I can't give it to someone else. It's not for me. So anyone out there, I always tell people, what are you doing for yourself to be better? Right? Is it going and buying a pair of shoes? Is it going and buying yourself a new outfit? Those things are all great. The best thing that you can do right now is take that $135 that you were going to spend on yourself for Christmas and invest in this. You're going to meet people that you're going to have in your life for the rest of your life. You're going to educate yourself, and it's going to empower anything that you want to do. If you're an entrepreneur, you have the ability for $85 to kickstart that. I will personally help you if you're an entrepreneur. If you are starting a program, if you're selling a product, whatever it might be, this conference has the ability to give you access to people that have done it. And that $85 or that $135 could be a gift that you could give to someone.
Would benefit.
Right. And the reason that I'm saying this is that, and why I asked that publicly, is that people look at they'll go, yeah. And they say, oh, well, it's $85, that's a lot, or it's $135. No, it's not. The ability to empower yourself is 10 times more than $80. That $85 can turn into $800,000. It can turn into $8,500 if you allow it, right? It's about your faith and your ability to be empowered by someone else. And it's not me, right? As I told you, I'm about to go speak to some NYU students that have spent $100,000 on an education.
Right.
What I'm about to give them, there's not $100,000 that can give them that. $85 is something that you can turn into something else. It's about the empowerment of yourself. It's about the love for yourself, the self-awareness, and all the things that you can do based off you coming and showing up. And remember what I always say, education is to know.
There you
just
go.
Do it.
Experience. Well, we adore you. Yeah. So do if it. Nothing else, people come because Sean James is hot. I'm just saying. And be you. Oh.
I need that. I'm getting older, man. I need all the hot I need. I can get
oh,
it.
Oh,
tell me I'm hot.
You,
I need
you
it.
You are.
I,
they're just
I haven't been called hot
face.
In about 30 years.
I'm just saying. You're a very handsome man, and it's okay. Not just your physical appearance.
No,
it's when you speak
your soul.
It is when you speak from your heart like that. It's like, whoo, getting warm in here.
Yeah, you know? She's beautiful from the inside out. It's like I definitely feel that from you.
Yeah,
inside
you just,
out.
Your soul's so beautiful.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think the same of you, ladies. So, we're going to have a good time, and I'm so glad that we got to do this. I think, you know, I will obviously, you know, try to share it on my platform and activate people. But I think I think at the end of the day,
there will be
it's not about ticket sales. It's about the people that show up, and we're going to Yeah. We're going to manifest this for ourselves. Absolutely. Because we need each other, right?
Yeah.
All the speakers need one another.
Thank you so much for
and that's all that matters.
Namaste.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Have a great rest of your day. It's November 1st.
Thank you so much.
Hey, let's go get it.
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
If you have suggestions for topics that you would like us to cover or you have a question, please feel free to contact us via email at whosaidyouhaveto@gmail.com. If you would like to know more about Free Will Healing, Tina, or me, visit our website at www.freewillhealing.com.
And also, please check the show notes for all of our Who Said You Have To social media links on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, where you can follow or subscribe to get updates for any upcoming events or personal appearances near you.
We encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
Who said you have to?